get your Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah again, please. This is a very, very, very deep book, much more so than what we even really realize. The more I study, the more I realize how shallow, how ignorant I really am concerning the Word of God, let alone this one particular book. There's a lot of things in there as I read it. I have no understanding concerning certain towns and places and things that's being spoke about and said. But I've got a little bit of understanding, so we'll share what little bit that we do have with you this morning, the Lord being our helper. And we'll run over some things and try to put some things in perspective so that you can have an understanding as well concerning the Word of God. In Isaiah, we talked about Isaiah, about him. God had gave him such great insight concerning a multitude of things, much more than what we really realize. He let him see a lot of things, spiritual things that were coming to pass concerning the last days and tribulation and Satan and many, many things that happened during that period of time. He let him have some insight concerning these things, and he prophesied about them. So in there, I believe some of these things are a twofold message. But I believe the basic message in what we're about to speak about pertains, of course, to the end time, the man who sent the son of addiction, although he makes mention of the Assyrian. We talked about the Assyrian. I believe that according to this, that I don't know exactly what portion of the old, you know, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, but I don't know which country now possesses or controls what used to be the old Assyrian. Of course, the Assyrian Empire was a great empire. And I don't know that it's talking about the whole place of the Assyrian Empire, but who it is that lives in the land of Assyria, where Nineveh was. I don't even think it's a city any longer. I don't know that it is. Not that you're on modern. I'm going to look, the Lord willing, see if I can run reference and find out that it is even today. I think it's probably destroyed. I think it was prophesied it would be destroyed, and I think it has been. But nevertheless, the Assyrians, or this Assyrian person, this leader will come, and I believe he's a type of Satan himself. It is the devil himself, Lucifer, son of the morning. I believe we can relate that according to these scriptures right here in this, and we'll talk about that, God being a helper this morning. But there's a lot in here that we don't have an understanding over, and we're not pretend that we do. I'm totally ignorant concerning a lot of things concerning the Word of God. And as I said, I'll say again this morning, so much that I don't know, that I don't know, that I don't know, that I've never have seen that I don't know. God have mercy, I'm so ignorant this morning, and I plead ignorant and dumb and stupid. And God give us some understanding little by little. You can't obtain it all, never will be able to, but we'd like to have a better understanding of what we have so we can be better used in God's service, better equipped to do the will of God, and preach the good Word of God, and bring to naught all the gainsayers, all the foolish, vile talk of all these ignorant people running around about trying to, what they think to be, preach the Word of God or discredit the Word of God, such as it may be. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God a workman, it needs not be shamed rightly, dividing the Word of truth. And then here, we found that Isaiah prophesied about, of course, the Immaculate Birth, chapter 7, verse 14, promise of the Messiah. Talked about how God was dealing with these chapters with Israel and would continue to deal with them. But then in His mercy, His enemy nation had, of course, had not ceased as of yet at that particular time. His hand was still upon them because they would not turn back unto Him, but turn their backs on Him and toward Him. And so God had to deal with them about their falling, about their sin. Even so is it today. Israel is still blinded, of course, in part, but not all Israel. There'll be a remnant saved according to the election of grace. And all through here, when He prophesied in here concerning dealing with them and turning them over to destruction so far as their land was concerned and sent over to different habitations where they would dwell and be, of course, an outcast out of Israel because of their sin, all these things are still carrying on and going on today. He promised a remnant saved according to the election of grace. He'll bring them back, we believe, again the second time, and of course that'll be the last time. Then He'll bring them into this place where He promised them, where King Jesus sit on the throne of David to rule this world in righteousness. And of course, we ourselves, I believe, will be not in Jerusalem or Israel. That's the land for the Jewish people. That's the land of Canaan, the promised land, beautiful land, sweet, beautiful land. But we'll be in other places of the earth. I believe that where we've been faithful over a few things, He'll make us rule over many. As we, myself, I believe, would be maybe down here, and of course, in Atlanta, in Adair Park, such as where I've ever been faithful. God will help me and called me to be. Bless me for my faithfulness, so He will you as well. If you've been faithful, God is faithful and reward them that diligently seek Him. This is diligent search. You've got to seek Him with a whole heart. You've got to have the hand of God on you to do a search. then he'll be able to use you. And you can then go out in the heat of the battle and bring glory and honor and strength by the fire of God being not only but upon you. And you can render a service, and only then can you do that when the God's anointing is on you. But if you look in there, you'll find out what we just talked about. And he speaks about certain things in chapter number 8. He's dealing, of course, with Israel and with Jerusalem and Judah. Read in that. And about the light we talked about it, prophecy was fulfilled in chapter number 9, where the light, a great light, of course, was, and the people said in darkness, and that was prophesied and fulfilled during the time of Jesus when he was in Cana of Galilee and these different Naphtali and Zebulon. Of course, there we had his ministry. We read about that, talked about that. And then in that same chapter, about a child being born, a son being given the government, as we just said, going to be upon his shoulders, but the increase of government, there'll be no end. It's an eternal, throne. King Jesus will sit on and rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and of course throughout eternity. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. The Bible pictures him in the book of Revelation and shows that he's as such. We know that already. It talks about him, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign, the song said, forever and ever and ever. So we see that in chapter 10, he talks about some other thing. In chapter 9, it finishes up talking about dealing with Israel, of course with Jerusalem and Judah. Talks about the things that they're encountering, going through, and bringing upon themselves. And you see in chapter 6, again in verse 5, where we're searing the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. Talks about in that, he's using the Syrians there to fulfill his purpose and his will concerning them, to deal with them about their folly. This Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. Now he did come down, and of course he annihilated it, took away the northern kingdom and carried them into strange foreign lands, and there they dwelt, brought other people into there. But he never did come down upon Zion or Jerusalem. So when we're thinking about that, I'll try to bring that in perspective. God being my helper, when we get a little bit further over, show you what I'm talking about. Commonly called about this Assyria who comes in the land. And of course, that talks about this king of Assyria. It relates him not alone with in the very same chapter with Lucifer, son of the morning, which is the devil and his kingdom. It's the very self same thing. So I want to talk to you about that and try to familiarize a little bit about that when he's speaking about this prior to the chapters we're about to get into, God being our helper. But I'd like you to look at it, go right on down, read the rest of that for yourself, if you would, please, about this king of Assyria. And I come and used him, where verse 12, it shall come to pass that when the Lord has performed his work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. Now, he never did come down to do anything to Jerusalem itself, nor Zion. He purposed to do so, but God turned him back. Sennacherib, that is, his fortress came, and God turned him back, and his own son come out of his own bowels, killed him. So, if this is something for you to think about in here, and I believe this is relating to what's going to happen in the end time. We said, by thy strength of my hand, I have done it, by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasure, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and one gathered the eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing, nor opened the mouth, nor peace. And nobody could withstand me. I've done what I want to do as I please. I've done all these things, just making his boast. And such, verse 16, therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory shall he kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his holy one for a flame. And it shall burn the fire and his thorns and his briars in one day. And that's when he's come, I believe, the great and noble day of the Lord. He's talking about coming and bringing down judgment before him like a garden of will, like the mind of the desert wilderness. And we consume them with the brightness come the sword of spirit, being the word of God in his eyes, like fire flames, and go forth and, of course, consume man to send the son of Ishmael, with the brightness coming and the sword of spirit, being the word of God. The light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his holy one for a flame. It shall burn the fire, his thorns and his briars in one day. Shall consume the glory of his forest, that the fruitful field, both soul and body, that shall be as when a standard bear fainted, and the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child may not write them. It shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon them that smote them, but they shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Now that's not happened as of yet, but it will. You see, that's going to happen in that day. That's what it says, so we can think about that in that one day. The remnant shall return. He's the remnant of Jacob and of the mighty God. That'll be when they finally return, recognize and realize, and of course, see what takes away his wrath and fulfills his word concerning them. He promised them, but made them a promise, and he's going to fulfill that. But though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption of the creed shall overflow with righteousness. The Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all the lands that he'll fulfill, and brought in his decree and promise, and whatever he said he's going to do, it will be done. thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwelleth in Zion, be not afraid of this Syrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the man of Eden. He said, don't be afraid of him. He's going to smack you with a rod of iron, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the man of Egypt, like the Egyptians did. And of course, put him in slavery for quite some period of time. But yet a very little while, and then nations shall see to mine anger and their destruction. He said, after a little while, it's going to be a little bit of while, and not mine nation, my wrath is going to cease. Then he said, mine anger and their destruction. Eventually, he said, I'll destroy them. That is, the Syrian, the rod of the Syrian, and all the sports of evil of Satan himself. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge, or a whip, or a beating for him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb, and his rod upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the man of Egypt. So I'll deal with him like the Midianites were dealt with at the rock of Oreb when they were slew that particular place in battle. Shall lift it up after the man of Egypt, and said, I'll deal with him as such. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off the shoulder, and his yoke from off his neck, off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now that God's hand then will be upon them, and all because there's the waters cover the sea. Because of his anointing, he'll take that yoke or that burden off of them, that problem away from and eradicate and deal with this Assyrian. This third person represents this Assyrian. It says more about the Assyrian. It says where he's coming to. You can read those verses there if you want to for yourself. How did he come down? And verse 32, and yet shall remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem, these other places he makes mention of when he comes down into the land of Israel. He makes mention of that. Behold, the Lord of hosts shall lock the bow with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thicket of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. In other words, he'll bring annihilation, destruction upon all the evil that comes in the land that at that particular period of time. He'll deal with them as the forces of the Antichrist gathers up round about Jerusalem to make war against the Lord, against his Christ. Of course, God will deal with them. There shall come forth these promises, you see, right into the millennial reign. Promising of one coming out of this root. And that's, of course, the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel, and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord shall make him a quick understanding. The fear of the Lord shall not judge at the sight of his eyes, nor prove after the hearing of his ears. Now, notice, read right on down through that. If you want to, you'll see. That's the millennial reign. This is not the only place he talks about this, when all the wild beasts, not all the domestic animals, but the wild beasts, will be tame again. There'll be no violence, no corruption, no killing, no problem during that time. When the knowledge will cover the earth, the waters cover the sea, they'll lay down beside one another, like they did in the very beginning when he created things. They eat straw, they eat seed, eat different kinds of that nature. They didn't eat one another, devour one another. When sin came, chaos came, confusion came, violence came. The devil said, brought that all upon mankind and God's creation, and they eat one another, devour one another, prey. Some of us is a prey to other animals, and then once again it'll be returned back as it was in the beginning. So that's what he's talking about. That'll only be in a millennial reign. Satan bound up for 1,000 years, and then the knowledge will cover the earth, the waters will cover the sea. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And then in the Webster said some type of mythical serpent. That's mythical. It's not mythical. It's biblical. It's real. What if such as this serpent, they just couldn't define what this serpent might be. But it talks about a little bit further about this coming out of the serpent's root about Palestine and Palestinian. And said, don't you worry about it. It said, there's going to come a serpent out there out of the cockatrice's den, a fiery flying serpent, and said he's going to do some harm. So I'll get over that just a minute. We'll get toward that. But in here, he's talking about these poisonous vipers, such as they may be, and venomous beasts and reptiles, such as they may be. I'm not sure about some of these, like the cockatrice. Nevertheless, it'll be something that's poisonous, and it won't be no hurt in all this holy mouth. Now, let's read. There shall no hurt nor destroy. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, which shall the Gentiles see, and his rest shall be glorious. Shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time and recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Babylon, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the isles of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together dispersed of Judah from four corners of the earth. You read about the things that go right on down in that. Hope that you study over it, if you will, please, and see what things that transpire and take place. And then chapter 12, when it's 12, is when they're rejoicing and praising God for his great salvation. That's a continuation of that. In chapter 13, it talks about the burden of Babylon. I've believe this is Mystic Babylon. At least I believe it, because if you take Mystic Babylon out of this entire chapter, you get into confusion. I know that the Assyrians came and they did take away the northern kingdom. They purposed to do away with Judah, but God didn't say it to be so. He had this man because he made his boast and blasphemed the God of heaven. God taught him a lesson. That man died and went to hell. His own son killed him, and God withheld them. But later on, because of Israel's sin, the Judah's Jerusalem sin, and the southern kingdom, Judah's sin, and Benjamin, those are two tribes were left, and God had to turn his back on them, leave them, and let Babylon, that is the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, come, and his armies, his forces, and take them away. I'm aware of all of that, but I don't believe he's talking about that in his particular scripture, and I'll show you why I don't believe that according to the scripture. So you can read along with me if you want to. Chapter number 13. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. The burden of Babylon. Now notice that, and you get a little bit further over to verse 19. In Babylon, the glory of the kingdom of Judah, the Chaldees, Exodus shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now we'll get over that in just a minute, but I want you to look at this, what he's saying in here. Take the whole chapter as a whole, because he's speaking about one particular thing in here, you can see about as he deals, and not only this chapter, but also in chapter number 14, he's also talking about Satan over as well, and the battle to be fought. But let's look at this. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, them sanctified ones, that are those been sanctified or saved. Sanctified means to be saved by the grace of God. I've also called my mighty ones for mine anger. And of course, we'll be coming with him out of heaven itself. And the forces, the angelic forces. And of course, King Jesus leading the armies of heaven. And we on white horses and our glorified bodies coming along with him, not breaking rank. Everybody the same heart, the same attitude. Everybody is one in him. Him leading the forces of heaven itself to destroy Satan himself. The man that sent the Son of Israel, right, to come to the sword of spirit, being the word of God. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger. Even them that rejoice in my highness. Now the word we rejoice in is greatness, is goodness, is mercy. We take rejoice in that fully. Everybody saved does. Regardless of whether they live like they should or not, they still rejoice in his great holiness, his highness or his holiness. The noise of a multitude in the mountain, like of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdom of nations gathered together. You see, that's a battle of Armageddon. The Lord of hosts mustered the host of the battle. He brings them together. He calls it to come to pass, to fulfill his word, he might bring vengeance and judgment upon all the abominable ungodly, who blaspheme the God of heaven, and don't want anything to do with them, because he's bringing judgment upon them that he brought upon themselves. And come from a far country, from the end of heaven. Notice it's a far country, a heavenly country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. That's the great and noble day of the Lord. It shall come as the destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. They shall be afraid, faint and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and consolation thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened as going forth, and the moon shall not cause the light to shine. This corresponds with many of the other prophets of old that speak about this, and Joel another time speak about the great noble day of the Lord. This is all the self-same thing, Revelation, other places as well. You'll see that he's talking about the great and noble day of the Lord come. Peter talked about it with his sermon in the book of Acts. The star of heaven, the constellation of shall not give the light. The sun shall be dark and it's going forth. The moon shall not cause the light to shine. I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the gold wedge of Ophir. And therefore I will shake the heaven and the earth shall remove out of the place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of the fierce anger. It shall be as the chase roll, as a sheep that no man taketh up. There they shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one to his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through. Every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. That's the abominable ungodly and the wicked. All of them that had anything to do with them are going to be destroyed. Their children all shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their house shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. I shall not regard silver as for gold. They shall not light it. There's a verse that I can't quite particularly understand concerning of this particular verse here. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver as for gold. They shall not light in it. Now, I know the Medes also themselves came in, and of course they were the one that is the Medes of Persian Empire. took over the Babylonian empire and came in. Now, I don't know what he's saying here about the Medes. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. They shall not regard silver as the gold. They shall not light up. Get a little bit of understanding, but I don't know if to comment about it, so I'll leave it alone. Their bows also shall dash their young men to pieces. And they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. The glow in Babylon, the glow of the kingdom, the beauty of the Chaldees in accuracy shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch a tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and the houses shall be full of doleful creatures. Owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places. And their time is near to come, and their days shall not be prolonged. Talking about judgment now upon Babylon. Mystic Babylon. You know, he used it as a purpose to fulfill his will. And then when he got to the place where he moved into Jerusalem and overtook and got the support of, I believe, the common market of Europe, and arms stands on his part. That's who enforces his power. And he takes over and comes into Jerusalem. And of course, he's going to, these 10 common market countries of Europe are going to turn on of Babylon, burn it with fire during that particular period of time, and people that's been made rich by it, them stand up weeping well. He's going to do that, fulfill the will of God, what God ordained for it to be, for Babylon to be destroyed. He, of course, is the king of Babylon, mystic Babylon, that is Satan himself. But the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and choose Israel. Notice his promise, restoration, and how they'll be spared, and they'll be set forth and put forth into the land, and set them in their own land. Strangers shall be going with them, and shall cleave the house of Jacob. The people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall bless them in the hand of the Lord for servants and handmaids. They shall take them captive. They shall take them captive, the captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. It shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest. Excuse me. It shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, from thy fear, from the hard bondage when thou wast made to serve. And what he's saying was that them having preeminence over them and rule over them, that they're going to be able themselves, nobody's going to have the hand to rule over them. They in turn will be free there from all others there around about. He said, he's going to give them rest. He's going to listen. And it said, it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, from thy fear, from the hard bondage when thou wast made to serve. No longer will they be a captive or captured, but they'll be able to rule and reign there and be as God intended to be in the very beginning. But sin brought separation from God. They brought it from themselves. And they not so. He's going to restore, rebuild, bless, and they'll have their place, their dwelling place in Israel itself. Thou shalt take up this proverb. He said, when it comes up, take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how have the oppressors ceased, the golden city ceased? And notice, I relate to the king of Babylon. Who is the king of Babylon? It's Satan himself. You don't have to take my word for it. Let's read it. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He brought it to naught. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nation in anger is persecuted on him. That's Satan. He said, here he is. He that smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nation in anger is persecuted and none hinder. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. This is what God put him in his place. Yea, the fir tree rejoices at thee, and the cedar of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no fellow has come against us. Satan, since you've been defeated, we'll have no adversary. The hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee. All the chief on the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the king of the nation. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we, or thou become like unto us? And they'll raise up and say, you're no strong, you're no different than us. Here you are with us. And then thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and thy noise of thy vials, the worm is spit unto thee, the worms cover thee. Said, you're no different than us. You've been destroyed. God destroyed you. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? You see, that's Satan, his kingdom. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation, the side of the Lord. I will ascend above the height of the cloud, and will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, the side of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this a man that made the earth tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the city thereof, to open up the house of his prisoners? All the king of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through a sword, that go down to the stone, the pit, and the carcass trodden underfoot. So he's been devoured and destroyed, that you're no different. God put him in his place, that thou shalt shall they not be joined with them in burial, because I have destroyed thy land, slain thy people. The seed of Evildoers shall never be remembered or renowned, be made known. Prepare slaughter for his children, for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. Said, all of his seed that follows after them, destroy and devour them. But I will raise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant, the son and nephew. Saith the Lord, every class of kindred to this evil worker, the seed of evildoers, is going to be cut off, every one of them. I will also make it a possession for the bitter and for the pools of water, and I will sweep it with a beast of destruction. That's a broom. Beast means a broom. A broom of destruction. I'm going to sweep them away. He's going to devour them, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land. Again, he mentions him upon my holy mouth and tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. He made mention of that prior to this, as I told you about the little bit further over, when the anointing breaks the yoke. This is the purpose, and the purpose upon the whole earth. This is the land that is stretched out upon all the nations. It's what God's purpose is going to bring to pass. For the Lord holds that purpose. Who can disannul it? And his hand is stretched out. Who can shall turn it back? So what God decreed and proclaimed, who's going to be able to do anything about it? Nobody. And then he said in the year that King Ahaz died was his burden. That's when this particular burden of this vision he had came to him in the year that King Ahaz died. And Ahaz, of course, was a wicked, abominable king, but God did have mercy upon him. When the kingdom of the north and the kingdom of Syria came up and tried to overthrow the kingdom, God sent them down there to afflict him, to get his attention. But then they wanted to set up another king in there who was a definite descendant and not a king of Judah. And that wasn't to be, because they wanted to wipe out all the seed of King of Judah. David, God made David a promise. So he stopped that, and he didn't let that come to pass. And of course, he was, as we said, a wicked king. You can read about him, and then his son that proceeded to act him, I believe, was Hezekiah. You can read about that in there if you want to. And the descendant asked him, right on into Hezekiah. And he was there when, of course, the northern kingdom was in king over the southern kingdom, but the northern kingdom was taken away out of the hands of the Assyrians, of the Assyrian Empire. And he said, rejoice not thou whole Palestine or Palestine, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. He said, you better not be rejoicing, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. It is for all that land as well, Palestine, when he comes and conquers. He'll subdue and subject everything under his will, that is Satan himself, during the time of the great tribulation period. By the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. Said, don't you rejoice because he's broken, that is, that he's been smote and broken, because it's going to something come out of this serpent's roots. It's going to be a cockatrice, and he'll have the fruit of it will be a fiery flying serpent, such as it may be, to devour and destroy it. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety. That's those of the poor and needy, those that evidently if they lie down in safety, that'd be those that were redeemed. And I will kill thy root with that is the root of these Palestinians, evidently, during the time when he's warning them with famine, he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestinian or Palestine are dissolved, for there shall come forth from the north a smoke. None shall be alone in his appointed time. Now the north is where this northern king comes to fight with the king of the south. And of course, because Syria is somewhat north, a little bit northeast. But in the time of the kingdom of Syria itself, when it's in its empire, it ruled all over the north, entire north, went all to the left, the right, up above, and everything else, and all the way down into Egypt. So it made a big, like so, up above Israel. But anyhow, that's food for thought, and I need to have a little bit more understanding concerning that. Hallowed gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestinian, art dissolved, for there shall come forth from the north smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. What shall one then answer? The messenger of the nation, who then the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poorest of people shall trust in it. So he's talking about again that his people there are going to be protected, shielded from all this destruction and annihilation that's coming by this king of Babylon, this mystic Babylon. And over in Revelation it says mystery Babylon. Mystery means it's not made known. Mystery of Babylon, where this city would be. I don't have any idea where it is or what it is, so I don't know. I have no understanding at all as of yet, but it's a mystery. That doesn't mean God can't show you that. Now, the time of Christ was a mystery about his crucifixion, but some didn't know about it. That's how they wrote about it. Everybody wasn't blind toward it. David knew about it. Isaiah knew about it. I believe Moses, he knew about it. A lot of them knew about it, but see, it was to the world, it was a mystery. And of course, it's not a mystery any longer. It's been made known that Christ came, of course, died for sinners, and God raised him from death, such as the mystery of the gospel and other things too concerning his deity. But you can read in there in Isaiah to you about others too, Jeremiah, all these men of old were meeting Christians, meeting saints. These people, they were Christians too. They just looked forward to the time of Christ coming. They were still qualified as Christian because they tried to be Christ-like, that is, the Messiah, the Savior. But then they themselves had insight and view. But it was a mystery, and so is it a mystery today about this mystic Babylon, not Babylon itself, that is, over in modern-day Iraq. But we're looking instead of it, then we're going to get into the Lord willing, about Moab. And I pray I'll give him some more understanding concerning these other things that I've just read over and some of the things that I didn't comment about because I didn't feel like that I should, not having enough understanding to be able to rightly divide that. Now, I've been thinking on some of these things. God bringing some enlightenment to my eyes and my mind about some of these places make mention of those things where I was in question about. But when he's dealing with a particular period, a place, we can take that and pretty well as be a part of the fact of identity as identifying where he's talking about. It has to be like in chapter number 10, latter portion of that, we see that he's talking about in these places, this would be in the land of Israel or the kingdom of Israel itself, that is northern, southern kingdom in this particular place. And here, most of this would be southern. And here you can see about these where Ramah, we know that, Gibeah, Saul, it makes mention of that. And Laish, it talks about that. Anathoth, that was where Jeremiah was from. Madmena is removed. I'm not sure about where that's at, but if we could find it in the book of Judges, probably over there when it makes listen about the inheritance, when they had that. So if you want to really pin it down, you can. I'm not on that fed led to, and I won't unless the Lord will. Gibeah, at some place at Nob, we know that's where the priests were when this Doeg, he was an Edomite, I believe, and of course he was a herdman of Saul, and he came, he didn't have no fear of God. He killed all those priests there, every one of them, and only one escaped from the Abathar. Of course, he wanted to be joined up with David. But it was prophesied that all the seed, that is, the man that was prior to him, it was his descendants after him, because he failed and his boys went to hell, that is, Eli, the priest there, he said that he's going to reject his seed because he didn't do the will of God. His boys went to hell, he died, fell off, had a heart attack, and broke his neck. But anyhow, this was where the prophecy was fulfilled. But it was still devilish for this man to come and do that. Evil, it was the devil, that wasn't God, but they did that. Nevertheless, it said there was enough. You can read about it over. So we can find out where some of these people and places are by reading the scriptures in other places. And you can find them in certain places too if you want to run reference. Now, don't ever try to get down just to do that so you'll know. If you do, you're going nowhere. If you want to know it just so you can quote it, that's what I said to myself. I said, when I look up a little something there occasionally in the dictionary for a definition, I said, I ain't going to remember it. Don't make no difference anyhow. God wants to remember it. He'll bring to my remembrance. If not, cooey, I don't need it. I'm not here trying to define everything that I read. I want to understand it. Don't misunderstand me. But I don't have to define every word in there because I don't knowledge to puff you up, charity, but edify. I don't want to be puffed up. I've got too much to do deal with my sorry self as it is. I sure don't need a puffed up mind. God only gives grace to the humble, resist the proud. So we need to humble ourselves. It's our responsibility. And try to be as sincere as we can. And ask God to help us to be more sincere and humble and surrendered and submitted. It might be able to be used and served to make, magnify, and glorify His name. Now, I want you to look, and there's a lot to be learned. Like I said, the more I looked, I said, God have mercy, how stupid and ignorant I am. And then I start studying and reading, and then He gives me understanding somewhat, little by little, because I couldn't obtain it all to begin with. I don't have that kind of understanding. I've got to study. I've got to study the Word of God. To study, you make it known to me little by little. And so He'll do the same thing for you if you'll just study. Show yourself we're going to God of work, and need not be ashamed, right, divided the word of truth. All right. Anybody got a question or comment? The Lord willing, we'll talk about the burden of Moab, and then it gets on into Damascus, that's Syria, other places, other people in here as well. You can see in Zion as it gets a little bit further over, and about Ethiopia and about Egypt and these different things in here as He talks about these different little nations or bigger nations, some of them are smaller nations as well. Anybody got a question or comment, thing on your heart, if you want to answer that, share. If you do, feel free to think about it.